Well, praise God. Let's get in the word. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You look so beautiful. You know, do you realize, look around the room for a second, please. Do you realize you're going to see these people up there? They're like, oh, no. No, you are going to see these brothers and sisters in the Lord up there. Amen. And before you leave today, if any of you have even a minute question as to whether you're going to make it in the rapture and all of that, come up to either Pastor or I, and we will make sure that you know that you know you are going. Amen. Amen. And you know what, people? Let me tell you something. Did we do anything at all to deserve our salvation?
No.
Not a thing. It was a gift. You don't have to do a thing to receive healing. It is a gift. And you don't have to be perfect and complete to go in the rapture. All you have to do is have God in your heart that you love him. You love him. Stop being afraid, people of God. Use your faith and trust. You know what he told me the other day? He said, Eva, trust in the love I have for you. It's a perfect love. He covers us when we are deficient. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So we're continuing on head versus heart faith. God had me teach this because we were having people call us and, you know, we would ask them, are you in faith? Do you understand? You know, are you ready to receive? And they would be, oh, yeah, I'm ready to receive. But it was a lot up here and we can see it. We can sense it. I mean, we can't see it, but we can sense it. And what we want to do is teach you how to get the word that you have up here, all the hundreds of scriptures you've read, the very many messages you've heard, and get those down here into your heart. Amen. That's a very critical, critical thing for you, because only the faith that's in your heart produces in the spiritual realm. The word that's up here produces for you, and you're going to see in a minute. Praise God. The scripture, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He's got to find faith in us people. And I'm talking about Rhema. Of course, Logos. In fact, you're going to see how critical Logos is. I'm not trying to put Logos down. I'll explain all of this. I know I'm throwing these weird words out, but you'll understand. But he really is asking. Jesus never exaggerated. He never tried to shock people. This is a real question to every single one of us. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith in you? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, sorry. Again, if you choose fear, you are choosing Satan and his outcome. We are not people of fear. Our journey on this in this lifetime is to get rid of all the fear. We grow up in fear. The most comfortable thing for people and humanity is to be afraid. What's going to happen? Oh my God, I found a lump. Is this cancer? What does this mean? We're bred in fear. I had someone that made me an expert in fear. Don't go on the slide. You're going to fall down and break your neck and you're going to become paralyzed. And this was when I was a little kid trying to play in the playground. It was constant fear, fear. It certainly kept me out of trouble, but, you know, it also hindered me greatly as a person. So God wants us to get rid of the fear. And then if you choose faith, you are choosing God and his outcome. Very simple. I walk around. I had coffee today and now I'm the other extreme. The last 2 weeks, you poor things. But this coffee is, ooh. So I'm pressing buttons up here. Pretty soon I'm going to go, phew. So, I walk around saying, I choose faith. People, I've had, in the last 3 weeks, I've had a great opportunity to be very afraid, very concerned. Don't come to church because I'm sick. You know, but I keep saying to myself, I choose God and I choose faith. And the results are happening faster. Amen? Praise the Lord. If Jesus truly is the Word made flesh, and that's what the Word tells us, then if we want Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, shouldn't the Word also be our Lord and Savior? If Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, if the Word tells you to do something, then he should be the Lord and Savior as well. The Lord means he has the final word in your life. And his final word for you is always going to be a good thing. It's a good thing. God will never hurt you. He is here to help you. Amen. And for you to take this life by storm, that's what he's here for. And then Savior, how do we get saved? Lupita, you answered very well last week. How do we get saved? Through the word. The word tells us how to live, how to be, how to get ready. And then it also saves us because of all the scriptures that we can find in there and stand on. We are saved through the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Oh gosh, Eva. Sorry. Two words to describe God's word. Logos is the spoken word of God that feeds our souls primarily. It's when you get in the Bible and you read and you read and you read. And nothing like, it's not like, oh my God, I had never seen that. That's Rhema, what I'm going to describe right now. But logos is what you read. It is spiritual truth and information. How are you going to be in heaven, a citizen of heaven, if you are not receiving truth and information of how heaven runs? We got to get ready. Amen? God once told me, I was being a little critical. I'm just going to be honest. You know, we're very transparent. I was being very critical about someone. Not anybody here, I promise you. But I was being critical. It was a relative. And the Lord told me, he said, you know, I don't need that up here, Eva. You need to get rid of it. Amen? So anything that is not of God, we need to start working and removing. To a great degree, it affects our souls with the knowledge of God and his concept of what a son of God is and what real faith is. Logos is critical because it begins to rewire our brain from a worldly carnal man into a mature man in Christ. That's what Logos does. It rewires your brain. When I first came to God, I was so lost. Guys, I would read one chapter and, you know, we were in Europe when I was a baby, like weeks, months, no weeks. And pastor would say, well, what did you learn? And I'm like, I don't know. I read a whole chapter. I didn't understand the word at all. It didn't make any sense. And that's how we all start. When we start growing and learning in the Bible, we're going to start receiving understanding. I mean, when I understood God, I fell in love with him, hook, line, and sinker. He's just perfect. He's perfect. And do not, look at the scripture, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is from the word, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. I can't tell you how many times in the first year of my being born again, pastor would catch me because he had 4 years ahead of me. And he was also very involved in a Christian group at UCI. And he would catch me all the time. Baby, you ought not to do that. And I'm like, huh? I've always done this. I know you shouldn't do it anymore. And that's how I started changing and growing. This man is a wall. He is an excellent shepherd, even at home. He's a wall. He won't let you get away with anything. He leaves you alone. You can choose and do whatever you want. But if you come to him, you're going to run right into a wall. And he's immovable because he knows the word. Amen. And he'll always bring us to the word. I thank God for a pastor like him. I thank God all the time for him. I always tell him, God, you must have really loved me because you had me marry my pastor. Amen. And then the other word. So logos is the one that really affects us up here and rewires our brain. That's critical. Amen. And then Rhema comes out of the logos that we treasured, studied, and meditated on. Logos comes first, always. But as we mature, we begin to hunger and search for truth. Don't you want to know the truth about things? Don't you want to know that what we're teaching you is the truth? Yes. That's how critical this is. Your mate comes up and tells you, hey, I believe we're supposed to move to Hawaii, you know, and start a ministry at the beach. And you're like, I don't know if that's truth. Let me go and pray. You know, how do we know we're living according to truth? Amen. And that hunger takes us to the Holy Spirit. And he takes that logos, the when we read the Bible, that's in us and turns it into rhema. It's like the ultimate of the progression of the word in us is rhema. Into revelation knowledge, rhema is what produces faith in our hearts. God rewards, see, it produces faith in our hearts. Logos produces, the majority of it is up here. You know what? Well, I'll tell you in a second. Turns into rhema, into revelation knowledge. Rhema is what produces faith in our hearts. God rewards our hunger for truth by giving us rhema. This is when a Christian becomes a true disciple, a true believer. I got very, very sick in 1983. I almost lost my life. It was horrible. I was very ill prepared. I was that Christian that tried to survive through logos. Just, oh, I read my Bible. I've read three chapters. What are you learning? Well, it was nice. I felt really good afterwards, and it was really good. We are supposed to be disciples of the word, amen? A learner, an aggressive person that is looking for truth. And so this sickness hit me. It was horrific, people. And for a whole year, I had to fight the good fight. But in that year, God taught me all of this. He said, you've been feeding and feeding and feeding. He goes, what? He said, I don't care if you have one, two, three scriptures alive in your heart. That's enough to help you overcome and help you get healed. Amen. So it's what's revealed here. It's what's revealed here. Amen. In the heart. This is when Peter was able to say, you are the rock. Amen. It's, oh, yay, she made it. Crystal. So it's when the Lord said to Peter, you know, he was talking to his disciples, the 12, and he said, who do man say that I am? And Peter is the one that answered, and he said, you are Jesus, the Son of God. Or how does it exactly? You are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And then this is what Jesus says. See, in that moment, before that, he was master, rabbi, Jesus, you know, he's the teacher, all of that. But when Peter put it all together through the power of the Holy Spirit, he said this. Then Jesus answered him. He said, you are the Christ. That's what he said. You are the Christ. And then Jesus says this. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God are you. When God reveals his word to you, he is favoring you in that moment, people. He's like in love with you. Oh my God, I favor this person. Look at them reading my word. Look at them searching for truth. And he opens it up for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, favored by God, are you Simon, son of Jonah? Because flesh and blood, in other words, mortal man, flesh and blood. I can't teach you rhema. I can give you the scriptures. And it is the Holy Spirit that will take that scripture. People, have any of you ever, like, let's say we're teaching something and something really hits you. Lisa, you're really good at that. I hear you all the time. Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome. When you're sitting there, I gave you a scripture, right? But doesn't it come alive inside of you and you go, oh my God, you finally saw it. That's rhema, people. Amen. And I know my sister, she's very open to God. She loves God. She loves the word. So that's how we're all going to become. Amen. All of us. So it says, because flesh and blood, mortal man did not reveal to take the cover off, to uncover the truth. And that is to disclose this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then this is a picture of a true spiritual hunger. Look at this. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. We ought to be in the word all the time, people. When we first got born again, we were the cutest little Christians you could ever meet. We had little cards everywhere, in the toilet. Like, it was Bible time in the toilet. as he sat on the throne. I'm serious. I had scriptures everywhere, on the refrigerator, in the bedroom. We had the word everywhere. Amen. Just in an effort to get the word in us all the time. Why we must build our house on the rock, which is revelation knowledge, and not sinking sand. Look at the house for sinking sand and the rock when you build a house on the rock. Steve, what happens to a house when you build it on the sand? Ah, he's into Rhema. What happens to a house when it's built on sand? It collapses and it has no support. Remember that. If you are just getting a little scripture here and feeding yourself a little here and hearing a really good speaker that's 20 minutes long and it's motivational speaking, I mean, those are good people. I've actually listened to that here and there. But when we're trying to build a house, it would be like laying down a brick over here, a little bit of cement there, and then maybe a little wood. No, we got to be very diligent about the foundation that we're building on. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So which are you going to be? Sinking sand or rock?
Rock.
Okay, God heard you. Matthew 16:18, and on this rock, revelation knowledge, rhema, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail and overpower against it. Amen. Think about that, people. I'm at the place, I'm very bold. I am very bold in my faith. I've had to go through a lot. Lost, you know, I almost got killed 3 times in my lifetime. So I had to become very serious. Because especially as ministers who teach this kind of word, we have a huge target on our back. And man, let me tell you, I really have taken the time to build solid. And you know what I tell the devil? You'll never prevail against me. You can't have this organ. You can't have... The other day, this finger started hurting really bad. And I'm like, you can't have my finger. I never gave you my finger. I've told him, you can't have my marriage. You can't have my children. And look at how strong my faith was. He came all the way back. And nah, I know, I was a huge magnet bringing my son. He went and lived almost for 2 years back east in North Carolina. Yeah, I don't like North Carolina. Okay. How can I know if I'm truly in faith? This is going to be one of the most important messages. I'm not going to finish it today. But it's going to be one of the most important messages you'll ever hear. I have prayed with people that are in a crisis. And they would walk away almost more fearful than when they came up for prayer. Is it going to work? Did God hear it? Is this it? It's so simple. How can this possibly reverse this horrible disease or bring my child back or whatever it is? How can I know if I'm in faith? I'm going to show you. These are forces, people, that automatically come from real faith, from rhema faith. You will know that you're in faith. What if you go to the doctor or a physical, you start getting a pain and you end up in the hospital and they tell you, oh, this is bad. This is really bad. And the first thing you want to do is get prayer. You can come to us. We'll always, till the end of our lives, be there to pray for you. But you might want to pray with someone at home. The minute you pray, this is your checklist. Am I still in faith? Am I in faith? Okay? So this is very important. You are in peace. The minute you pray, you go into peace. If you don't have peace and you're still in torment or turmoil, you're not in faith. We had a chance to pray for Nelson over something, and the guy walked away like a champion. It's done. I have this. Peace. We see the peace on you, and we see when you don't have the peace. Amen? May the God of hope, see, we serve a God of hope, people. He's not hopeless. Amen. Oh, my God! Jesus, God's not pacing the floor back and forth. He's not going to therapy up there because he's so anxious over our planet. He's peaceful. He's peaceful about everything. He's in faith. Amen? May the God of hope fill you with all joy. And peace which means quietness, rest, and set at one again. When we are all anxious people, we are fragmented. We can't think straight, and our mind is thinking about, but what if this doesn't work? I'm going to try to trust God. And we're all fragmented inside, but peace brings you back to one again, where you're in control. Peace puts you in control. And you can amen me anytime. So in believing, okay, so and all peace, which is quietness, rest, and set at one again, in believing. See, the peace comes from believing. How can peace come when you're up in an uproar? That was me in 1983. For the first 6 months, I was all over the place. And I really thought I was going to die, and Pastor would go to God and pray for me, and the Lord would tell him, if she doesn't get the knowledge. Did he not tell you that, Bill? If she doesn't get the knowledge, the rhema, she's going to die. And I'm telling you now so you can get ready. Knowledge. Knowledge is everything to us people. How intelligent is God? You can't fathom his intelligence. He's beyond brilliant. So we have to stop being little worms on the earth. We got to start rising up. As the more intelligent you get, oh, the word of God will make you so smart, guys. I'm basically very intelligent now. It makes you very intelligent. Amen. So how are we going to fellowship with God if we're still worms that can be squished by a little demon at any moment? We have to become intelligent. We have to become smart. We have to know the word. And like I tell you, I don't care if you leave this earth and have just three rhema realities in you. You have built on the rock. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In believing, through the experience of your faith. You can't argue with this. Chris, can you argue with this? Peace and faith. Peace and faith. Poor guy. He's like, no. What am I going to say? She's my aunt. She'll get me later. No, Chris is awesome. Chris, God is raising some people. Oh, my God. Hang on to your hats, people. Hang on to your hats. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. This church is going to explode in life. You're going to see. Glory to God. Pastor and I have laid down some good seeds, and it's coming. The harvest in your heart is coming. And the change is going to happen fast, people. God loves you. God will never say, no, Bill, I'm going to stop you for a while. No, you're not going to keep growing. Are you kidding me? He's like, come on, son. Come on. That's what he's telling Jesus. Come on, son. Keep going. Keep going. You're going to tap into something, Jesus. It's going to be like a river. It's going to take you. It's going to be awesome. So in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, see everything I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence. That in confidence means to anticipate and hope, to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, confidence in his promises. Romans 15:13. Think about that, people. The doctor tells you you've got cancer, which is it's a big one. You know, a lot of people are, ooh, I used to be like that. Until you understand that nothing is greater than our God. Nothing is greater than God. Amen? Oh, imagine you go to the doctor and he tells you that. You get prayed for and the peace of God comes on you. You know, imagine knowing that you're fighting the good fight and your body is getting healed, but you can't see anything. And you walk around with pleasure, expectation, and confidence. I don't care what this is. It's dead. It's out of my body. God is greater than this. Jehovah Rapha is my healer. Amen. 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 Praise God. And then the last one, steadfast love and truth and faithfulness. Oh, I love this scripture. Oh, steadfast love and truth and faithfulness meet together. They hang out. They are buddies. They're a little tribe. Steadfast love and truth and faithfulness. And then I love this. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Isn't that beautiful? I actually found that in the Word. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. You know why? Righteousness, a great part of righteousness is that of believing. But look at, Pastor is so funny. He's been checking my scriptures, guys, during church. Last week, you know, when I talked about the male prostitutes, the barking dogs that are preaching, he didn't believe it. And he looked it up. I said, look it up. It was in the Word. So he's Mr. Bible Man.
It's a strong definition.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it came from the Strongs. But righteousness is when we stand. Abraham was counted as righteous because he believed God. You will stand as righteous when you believe God. And righteousness and peace kiss each other. They're part of a little clan that hangs around you, a little gang. Amen?
Amen.
Is this clear?
Yes.
For to us a child be born, to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Oh, Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then Prince of Peace. When you are in peace, the Prince of Peace is reigning over you. He's the Prince of Peace. So we want that peace because we know that Christ now is completely involved. Amen? And the effect of righteousness, which means moral virtue, and pistis, which means believing, will be peace. The effects of righteousness will be peace. It doesn't get clearer than that, right? Is this clear, Dan? Yes. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness will be quietness and confident trust forever. See, peace, peace, confident trust, I trust. And then the last scripture, for the mountains shall be removed, may be removed, and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. All people. That was a time to jump up. I'm serious. Let's read that first part together. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. Now, does God lie?
No.
Does he lie?
No.
He tells nothing but the truth. And he just told you that his love will never leave you. He will never forsake you. We are not alone, people. The God, the creator of everything, every universe, the galaxies, the trillions, gazillion stars, the planets, all of it, every pebble of sand will never stop loving you. You can't ever make God stop loving you. Even the people that have gone to hell, he still loves. He created them. It's like a parent that has a child and they go wayward. You still love them. You love them. Amen?
Amen.
Nor will my covenant, my contract of peace be shaken. God's at peace with you. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm a major jerk. I know. I know you are, as so am I. But his covenant has been freely given to you when you got born again. You have a contract with God, and you don't even understand it. I believe with all my heart, Pastor, it's tied to Psalms 23. I've set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That table contains everything you will ever need in this lifetime. Food, provision, if you need a car, if you need health, whatever it is, he's already given it to you. Nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. He has compassion on you. You know, I'm a good mom. I'm a good mom to you. You don't even know. But I love my children so very much, and I dream of ways to bless them. I dream. I'm nothing. Compared to God, I'm nothing. I could never love like God loves. Yet I dream of blessing my children. Can you imagine how God is, who is perfect love, in you, in regards to you? Psalms 131:1. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Now, this is very important. It's not going to make sense to you in the beginning. I'll explain. Now, Lord, my heart is not haughty. That's all proud and lifted up. Nor my eyes lofty, like, oh, I'm so high up. Look at all these people down there. So I don't think, this is what this means. I don't think that I'm all powerful and I can take care of anything that comes my way. That's what this scripture is basically saying, because the rest of it proves it. People, when we come to God, you may think, or when you come for prayer to pastors, you may think, oh, brother, I have to go and get prayed for. I really don't want to. I think I got this covered, and, you know, I don't really need to call on anybody. There's a time, of course, when you're solid and you've got a great little foundation going, that you can do it all. You're supposed to be able to do it all on your own. But if you ever come to God, don't ever come to him haughty and thinking that, you know, okay, well, I'll let you pray for me. You know, I've actually prayed for people that kind of do that. Okay, sure, pray for me. Yeah, okay. It's like, dude, anybody offers to pray for me, I would kiss your hand. Thank you. I'm grateful. Amen? Right, Pat? She's awesome. Neither do I this is the rest of the scripture. Neither do I concern myself. Oh, this is so powerful, people. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with the things too profound for me. When you ask God for something, don't try to figure it out. You're not going to catch up to him for the first 10 millenniums in heaven. Why do you concern yourself? Well, you know, if this is being haughty, well, they prayed for me, but, you know, the doctor said my numbers haven't changed. You stay the course.
Amen. Amen.
Don't concern yourself. How is God going to do it? Does he have a magic wand? Or does he do surgery for me while I'm asleep? Don't concern yourself on how it's going to happen. If you have a child right now that's gone from you and wayward and they don't want to have a thing to do with God, don't worry about it. How am I ever going to bring them back to God? Don't worry about that.
Amen.
That's too profound for you. Just go into peace and hang on to your prayer.
Amen.
That prayer is your evidence that you're in faith. I prayed. It's done. I prayed. Mark 11:24. The moment we pray, if we believe that we have received it, we shall have it. I prayed. It's done. That child's coming back. I'm going to go in there and clean out their room. Make it ready for them because they're coming back. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm doing better preaching than you are amening. So number two, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Weaned is just peaceful, and like a child when they fall asleep in your arm. You think they're sitting there in your lap, in your arms, trying to fall asleep, saying, what if they drop me? This guy's, his arms aren't very big. He could drop me, dude. I'm going to have to stay with one eye open because they could hurt me, you know? And they don't. They don't trouble themselves with things they don't need to trouble themselves with. Peace comes when you realize that everything, say everything,
everything,
that's out of your control should be out of your mind as well.
That's right.
Oh, call the on newspapers. Dial 911. That was a rhema. On my pastor. Woo-hoo! I'm sorry, Bill, but that never happens. Okay. No, that's awesome. Okay, peace comes when you realize that everything that's out of your control should be out of your mind as well. How am I going to get healed of this, you know, my elbow is growing bigger than this elbow, whatever. You know, I'm serious. Hey, it may be funny, but I had a lump in my elbow. I prayed and it went away. Kids are looking at me. Is something wrong with me? Okay, so you're making me sweat up here. I'm really earning my paycheck today. Peace comes when you realize that everything that's out of your control should be out of your mind as well. You're going to go crazy if you don't learn this. You're going to try to figure everything out. How can a miserable human being like me ever end up with a holy God in heaven for all eternity? Just trust. And then God will begin to show you just how that happens. Amen? Protect your heart. Protect your mind and thoughts. Release unto the Father what you can't change. Make room. Say, make room.
Make room.
For the life of God that's paved in peace that only He can give you. You're so busy with your own little squirrely thoughts. You got mice running around in your head. This isn't going to work. Life is bad. Oh, my God, the rapture's coming. The economy's failing. Oh, my God, we're going to get overwhelmed by all these people, all of that. The mice running around in your head. And honestly, people, how can the peace of God force itself into your head? Make room for Him. Make room for His thoughts, for His peace. I have learned to ask God about everything. Lord, what about this? What about that? He has an answer for everything, people. He is smart. Peace, look at John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. This isn't a suggestion. Do not let your heart be troubled. Nor let it be afraid. Do not let your heart be afraid. The minute you catch fear gripping you, and it's on a daily basis, people, that it'll try to creep up. And you say, no, I am in peace. You stop it. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my peace calm you in every circumstance. Every circumstance. Amen. You finish church and you've got a car full of people and kids and you're like, where do we want to go have breakfast? And you have 10 different answers. Don't be troubled. In every circumstance, just go into peace and say, Lord, help us to find a good place. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. The way you get courage and strength is when you receive the peace of God. Father, I'm asking you for your peace right now. I do that a lot, people. Father, I'm asking you for your peace. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Real faith leads to peace. Real fear leads to torment. Monica, you want to read that out loud?
There is no fear.
No, the just the top.
What?
Just the two top lines.
Oh, real faith leads to peace. Real fear leads to torment.
Did you hear that? That's why your stomach is shot. And that's why you can't sleep. And that's why it's because you are in torment. Why? Because you have fear in your life. Always remember that child, guys, that little beautiful baby. So quiet, so trusting, so peaceful. See yourself as that in the hand of God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We're talking about peace right now, and I know that. But look at this next phrase, because fear involves torment. Anytime you're in fear, you're going to have torment. And torment means great annoyance and irritation, punishment, bane. And bane means misery and a curse. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And then look at Job. For the thing, all of us right now sitting here looking so precious and so proper in the house of God, all of us have something we're afraid of. That's just in the back side of our head. Something, maybe an uncertainty that's causing that fear. Look at what Job said. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. You let that fear simmer long enough inside of you, it's going to come upon you. And what does fear mean? A sudden alarm, dreadful fear, things greatly feared, and terror. And what I dreaded, be terrified of, be anxious about, has happened to me. Don't ever be caught being afraid. We live in a very precarious time. We live in a time where man is doing crazy things now in the open. Apparently, they were always happening, but now it's in the open. Do never be afraid, parents, of your child ever being taken or something happening to them. Never allow that fear to simmer. Turn them over to God on a daily basis and let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. When Brian was gone, the Lord would tell me, because at least Andy is with Michael, but Brian was all by himself 24/7 in a different country. And the devil will bring it up. There's tornadoes in the East Coast. And I would say, Father, I just pray. I cannot even allow that fear in. In Jesus' name, he's safe. And he actually went through a tornado, right, Brian? Or a hurricane?
Yeah, but I wasn't alone.
Yeah, you weren't alone. Jesus was there. Praise God. See? Woo-hoo. So, what you dread and what you fear is a seed. You feed that long enough, and it's going to come to pass in your life. Let it go. Let it go. Start learning to let it go. I wanted to put it on, but I didn't. Too much to teach. But there is a picture of a donkey, and it's in a third world country. I don't know if it's India or Mexico, but it's a donkey. And it's carrying, you know how donkeys carry a little cart, and they load stuff on the cart, and then they travel? This donkey was so loaded down that the donkey, the cart fell down, and the donkey was in the air with his little legs trying to get down. He wasn't moving. He was completely out of control now. That's what we are like. When we allow all the burdens of this life, all the fears, everything crowding us, we get overwhelmed, our cart tips, and now we're suspended and along for the mercy of all the burdens we filled ourselves with. Get rid of the burdens. Take inventory of every fear within you and deal with it now. This is from God. Deal with it now, whatever fear it is, before it comes upon you and before it happens to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at this beautiful picture. Oh, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. About what?
Anything.
Say it like you mean it.
Anything.
Nothing. You're not supposed to be afraid of nothing. I grew up in a generation where the more you worried, the better mom you were. Oh, look at her. She's such a good mom. She's always worrying about her kids. Oh, my God. Half the stuff she was worrying about came to pass for those kids. No. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Not even one, any, or none. but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace, the quietness of God, that peace which reassures your heart, which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. How do we defeat anxiety, fear, according to this?
By how do we defeat anxiety? You said fear.
Yes, by, well, peace is the outcome of that, but we pray. Right, Jesus? We pray. That's how it all starts. You go to God, you cast your burdens. Why do you think we are supposed to do it with thanksgiving?
Because it's done.
Because it's done. And you have received it.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. Woohoo! You guys are getting it. And the peace, the quietness of God. Oh, I already read all that. But listen to this, beautiful guys. He's just waiting for you to pray. He's waiting for you to come to him. Every prayer he receives. Every prayer. So make sure it counts. Do it by faith. When we put our problems in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. Did you hear that? Yes. Stay with me. These are two scriptures that I came across. Stay with me. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. Stay with him. Stay with him. Say, I will. Stay with Christ.
Stay with Christ.
Amen. And he will surely show you kindness. Praise God. Number two, you've entered his rest. So now, what was the first one?
Peace.
Thank you, Brian. Peace. And then now we're going to enter into his rest. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, it's a promise, guys. It means to repose. That means lay down even, relax, and then to abode, to live in as a residency and as a place in his rest. God gives us rest. It's a supernatural force. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. If you have believed, you're going to be at rest. You're going to be residing in that rest. I'm going to live in this rest. And I'm going to show you in a minute what's the difference. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, in my anger. You never want to be on the side of God's anger, people. And the biggest thing that makes him really, really angry is when we refuse to believe. When we refuse to believe, that's when you get him really upset. We think it's, oh, I was checking out a girl. Oh, I was watching this and I shouldn't have been watching it. Oh, I told a lie. We think it's that. The greatest thing is when you refuse to believe. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He's saying, I already finished everything. I fulfilled the plan of salvation. In the plan of salvation, I have healed you of every sickness and every disease. You will have a long life. I will be your provision. I will provide. I am the provider. I am the healer. I have my angels that are working for you 24/7. The work has been finished, and yet they refuse to believe. Breakdown of Hebrews 1 through 3. There's a promise to us of entering his rest. He's done the work. We get to rest by believing. If you believe, you're going to have peace. If you believe, you're going to have rest. Next, we should fear and be afraid lest any of us seem to have come short of it, of the rest of God. He sees people He's got x-ray vision, and he can see your insides when you're not resting. How do we not rest? When we're trying to make something happen, instead of relying on God to bring it to pass. Amen? Seriously, people. You know, yes, it's good to take care of your body. Yes, it's good to exercise. I'm reading so much on all of that. Yes, it's great to eat right. But if you're counting on all of that, you are working and not resting. We should believe God first and then do your part. Hey, if you want to go walking for 10 miles, do it. But don't lean on your own arm to make something happen for you. I'm going to make my husband love me. He has to love me. And we force ourselves on them. You're not resting. Pray for your marriage and then turn it over to God. Amen?
Amen.
So next, the gospel must be preached. You have to hear the gospel be preached. And the gospel is what?
Word.
Which is the?
Good news.
Good news. The good news. Don't look at all the bad scriptures. He wants you to hear the good news. The bad scriptures, not bad, they're harsh. They're harsh, but that's for the unbeliever, for the sinner that refuses to love God. And next, the word will not profit us if it's not being mixed with faith. Next, we who have believed do enter that rest. Next, God has said to those who hear the word but refuse to mix faith into it, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the beginning. Next scripture, and we'll probably cover this and then we'll stop because you guys look like, There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. What does this mean? There remains a rest for God's people. When we cease from our works, we are being like God who also ceased from his works. Stop laboring. Could you work for your salvation?
No.
A lot of religions and even some Christianity, you got to be good. You got to be good. God will not allow you. I hear them preach all the time. And some of these are born again believers. You have to be perfect. You got to get rid of that. That's working. Just say, Lord, I love you. I'm going to do my best to grow up and mature. Father, help me. I'm working on things, but enter into his rest. Stop trying to make the spiritual realm work for you. Just receive. I can't enter into his rest unless I cease to work. You can't enter his rest until you stop working. Let's say you're believing God for a child, and then you take it upon yourself. Well, I'm going to call them every day, you know, and I'm going to make sure. No, rest. Turn it over to God and let God work. Give him a minute to work. Somebody say amen. Next, I must be diligent to enter that rest. Be diligent. Push yourself. Oh my God, I'm getting nervous. I'm anxious. I got to enter into his rest. If I don't strive to enter into his rest, I am in disobedience. That's according to the scripture. We don't want to be disobedient. Amen. Oh, let me see. Yep, this is it. This will be the last one. How the Lord leads us into rest. The Lord is my shepherd, and he does what a shepherd does is to feed, to guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. I'm not going to lack anything because he's my shepherd. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, and this world is a valley of death, people, I fear no evil. for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed and refreshed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You can see how much God is doing his best to quiet us, to take care of us, and to refresh us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much for being so strong. God bless you.